Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, from high atop the ice surface at MTS Center. We welcome you to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. I'm your host, Drew Mindell, up here in the press box next to my colleague, Richard Pollock, and producer Michael Remus. And the Winnipeg Jets have successfully, for the first time in 3 years, I might add, successfully won their home opener of the 2013-14 NHL season, defeating the Los Angeles Kings by a 5-3 margin. Richard, an entertaining game for the most part. The Jets were badly outplayed in the first period. Second period, they dominated. They dominated the first 10 minutes of the third period. They let the Kings back into the game for a little bit, but on the back of an empty net goal that gave them a 5-3 lead, they ended up winning by that margin.
Yeah, Drew, I thought they look significantly better than they did last year across the board. And they have holes, and we can talk about those holes, but they are a better team than they were last year. I don't think there's any question about that. The Scheifele, Trouba, Setoguchi, Frolik are a lot better than Postma, Klitsam, Andropov, Wellwood, Burmistrov, all the junk they had last year. So, I mean, the team is just better. You can tell the ice is not tilted as much in the other team's favor. And the Jets tonight, I thought the key to the game was their speed. And they used their speed against the LA team that's not very fast. And I thought the Jets were, over the course of the 60 minutes, the better team. Probably 36, 37 minutes to 23 minutes. I thought LA played a really good first and came on hard at the end. But otherwise, the Jets were the better team.
Yeah, starting the first period, I think that was really they came out. I don't know if that they came out flat necessarily, but LA really dominated that in that first period. In my mind, I believe the shots at the end of the first period were something like 16-3 or something.
I think it was double, like 18-7, but I don't know exactly what it was, Drew. But at the end of the day, LA was a team that traveled and came out, and they had a lot of gas in the first, and then they really seemed to come run out of steam, I thought. So I thought the Jets took advantage of the fact that the Kings were on the second half of a back-to-back, and it goes both ways. One would say they're really fresh, so they're fine, and the other person might say these guys don't play back-to-back in the preseason, so maybe they're a little worn down.
Yeah, it was the shots, like I said, were 18-7. You were right, 18-7 for the Kings in the first period, and I think that's a good point. You could see that in the second period, the Jets, the Kings just didn't have the jump that the Winnipeg Jets had, and that's largely, I mean, to some degree, it certainly can be attributed to the fact that the Jets hadn't played since Tuesday night. They had Wednesday and Thursday to practice, where they didn't have to skate in game conditions. Meanwhile, LA probably came in here late last night, and it showed towards the end of the game, or the middle and end of the game, where they just didn't have the same energy that the Winnipeg Jets had.
No, I think that's a big issue, and the Jets have 8 of their first 10 games at home, and they've looked good, obviously, so far, 2-0, and you have to take advantage of that schedule.
Absolutely. When the schedule came out, however many months ago, I think we said on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, we said Jets have to win, probably take 70% of the points in the first 10 games, because it's not the hardest schedule
altogether. No, it's easy schedule.
Yeah, this might be the hardest of the games, the hardest team they're going to play.
Yeah, you might be right.
And you have to take advantage of playing your first 10 games at home. Otherwise, you're going to look bad. You're just fighting an uphill battle for the remaining 72 games of the season.
Yeah, and when you take advantage of it, it makes it so much easier. They talk about you can't make the playoffs in the October, but you can lose out in the playoffs. And I do agree with that to a fair extent, because it's so, you get behind the eight ball in this league, and it's 3-point games, and you're always chasing it. And if you can get up and go, 7-3 or whatever it may be, you have a cushion there. So you go through that drought, well, okay, you're fine. You don't have to panic. And a young team like the Jets, and for the most part, they're a young team, probably they're more apt to panic if they get behind. So, although tonight they kind of panicked when they got ahead, but
they don't know how to strangle an opponent yet.
Well, they don't know how to strangle an opponent because they're not good enough defensively. And so what happens is when you're up by that score, you want to shut it down and play good defense, but they can't do that. So they're almost better off just continuing to attack the opposing net, because as you saw in the Edmonton game, and I didn't see the end of that game, but I'm only hearing from you guys.
Hang on. You're getting old?
Well, no, I was occupied with other things this week, and I didn't catch the end of that game. And you know what, Drew? I heard they were running around, and clearly tonight, I mean, they were all over the place. And
they're not the. If you like system hockey, you're not really going to enjoy them.
And if you like exciting hockey, you're going to like them.
Exactly right. Yeah. And I prefer exciting hockey.
So do I.
They're going to be an entertaining team.
They are 100% because they're fast.
Yeah.
I mean, think about the guys who can skate, right?
Sure.
Wheeler can skate. Little can definitely skate. Lad's a solid skater. He's not the best skater, but he's a solid skater. Kane's lightning fast. Gucci's really quick. Shifley's improved his skating. Frolik can skate. Yeah. Jokinen kind of moves all right for a big guy. You know, Ryder, Tengrady, and then you look at the other guys aren't bad skaters. So you have speed. Then you're on the back end. Truba can fly. Bogosian can fly. Enstrom and Buffalo can both skate. Postma isn't the fastest guy in the world. And Klitsum can skate. And then Stewart's not a good skater. But, I mean, what, two good guys who aren't a good skater? I look on the other side of the ice tonight. Like, great talent, don't get me wrong. But a ton of slow-footed guys. Willie Mitchell, Robin Regier, Jordan Nolan, Dwight King, Matt Green. You know, Green's not bad for a big guy, but the other guys I mentioned are all cement foots almost. So, you know, they certainly bring good attributes to the game, but the Jets took advantage of that tonight. And I thought it was interesting that they played, King and Nolan, considering a guy like Carcillo is kind of nuts and all over the place, probably would have fresh legs back-to-back.
Sure.
Thought too much of the same, I thought, with the Kings tonight, and I do think going forward, from an LA perspective, they have to improve their depth on their third and fourth lines. And they have to improve their speed because they have everything else, really. I mean, Quick had an off night tonight, but they really do have everything else.
Sure, they have plenty of goal-scoring prowess. And probably the best goal scorer in the Western Conference in Jeff Carter.
Yeah, you know what? He's right up there, and he's solid. And his ability to take face-offs, he has a good shot, really good shot. And he's fast. I think the way he skates, I think, makes him a good candidate for Olympics. I know a lot of people don't have him on their teams. I have him on my team because I think what he brings is well-suited not only to the National Hockey League game, but to the Olympic ice.
There's not very many 40-goal scorers that are, you know,
right.
Every year in, year out, 40-goal scorers. And we'll talk more about Jeff Carter and the Olympics later on, closer to February when the team's announced, of course. Let's start by talking about the goals that were scored. The LA Kings opened the scoring at the 14-17 mark of the first period. Matt Green gets the goal unassisted. At the end of a penalty, the Jets are sort of scrambling in their own zone. A pretty lousy giveaway up the middle a little bit, just trying to sort of knock it out of his own zone. Matt Green takes a shot, takes a slap shot from the point. It deflects off Paul Postma's stick and then off of off of Dustin Byfuglien's leg right behind Andrei Pavlik. It's 1-0 LA. Up to that point, really, you know, at the 15-minute mark of the first period, Pavlik had made a number of very key saves to keep the Jets tied and then, you know, within striking distance of the LA Kings.
Yeah, you're right, Drew. He kept them in the game the first period. It could have been 3-0, and this game probably could have been over because you don't want to be down against LA because they clog up the middle, and they're big and they're strong, as we talked about, right? It's a lot easier to defend than to create, and that's what Daryl Sutter feasts on is those leads. Bad clear by Buffon, up the middle, kind of blind, and he has great attributes in terms of offensively and all that stuff, but he has some precarious decision-making with the puck tonight, I think, to say the least, and that was one of them. And lucky goal, bounced off the net, bounced off a player in front, but them's the breaks. The Jets got some good bounces, too.
Yeah, the Jets, to their credit, responded very quickly, just under 2 minutes later. At the 15:45 mark of the first period, Evander Kane gets the goal, assist to Mark Scheifele and Devin Setoguchi. You could probably count on two hands the number of bad goals of this nature that Jonathan Quick gives up in the course of a year. It was a nice shot, I guess, in that it had good velocity on it. But if Evander Kane is beating Jonathan Quick from the blue line with a wrist shot, it's probably more so Jonathan Quick misplaying it than the shot being that good.
Yeah. I didn't see the replay. If it was tipped, I don't think it was. Even if it was pretty far out for a tip off a wrist shot, not a slap shot. He takes a shot. Kane outside the blue line gets blocked, gets it back, fires a wrist shot. He's got a top five wrist shot in the NHL, but Quick's got to have that every day of the week and twice on Sunday. And he didn't. And I'm more wondering how Scheifele got an assist on that play. If you watch the replay, you'll probably understand.
Scorekeeping here at the MTS Center. How about that? Jets almost made it 2-1 at the 6:40 mark of the second period. Just a really weird one. The Jets were on the power play, and Blake Wheeler, you know, takes a pass and from the blue line, and just above the faceoff circle, really, wires it past Jonathan Quick. Meanwhile, this entire time, the net has been clearly off the moorings. It was a bizarre one in that nobody whistled the play dead, and then, you know, the puck goes in, and Quick just sort of looks at the net and is like, you know, it's not going to count, guys.
He could have brought it back. He could have brought it back on the moorings if you want to, but why would he? What's the incentive?
Sure.
In terms of the shot, actually, Drew, I think the replay demonstrated that wasn't going in because the puck came from the outside of the moorings, which is where the post is. So I don't think it would have actually gone in. But the crowd went a little crazy, and then the ref should have put it back on if Quick didn't, but they didn't, I don't think it would have been the goal.
If there was no way for the Jets to score in that instance, because it was wasting power play time. No point in time was a goal going to count there because the net was off. So it was sort of clever of Jonathan Quick
to
keep the net off.
But the refs got to notice that.
Yeah, the refs, and it's four of them on the ice. Yeah. Somebody's got to notice that, blow it dead, or fix it yourself. I mean, it's what you're getting paid for. Anyways, the Jets didn't let that phase them. 6 minutes later, they did actually make it 2-1. Olli Jokinen gets the goal, his first of the year, assists to Michael Frolik and Toby Enstrom. It's a point shot that doesn't get through to Jonathan Quick. It bounces over to Jokinen. He sort of... You know, it doesn't get a lot on it, but he sort of just uses a sand wedge and lofts it over Jonathan Quick, who's down on the play, anticipating the original shot. Not pretty, but for a guy like Olli Jokinen, who's been nothing but snake bit really in the last year and a bit, he'll take whatever he can get.
That's right, and you're exactly right. Drew kind of not whiffs on it, but doesn't get a ton on it, but gets enough on it, and it's kind of like that Mike Krushelnitsky goal on Kelly Rudy years and years ago. Remember that one? He's just leaning forward, waiting, and it just goes over him. So that was basically what I thought it was. And, his 300th goal.
Oh, good.
So, for a guy like Olli Jokinen, who's kind of had huge years in Florida and struggled in Phoenix and Calgary for the most part, had a good year in Calgary, one of those years. And with the Rangers, it's nice for him to get a 300th goal. And I think for the Jets,
gets
nice
a former
for the third
team
line.
Of his as well.
Yes, and that's right. He was on LA. And nice for a it's been on a lot of teams.
Yeah.
Islanders too. Nice for nice for Jokinen as a third line center to get a goal to contribute. I thought he played pretty solid. If he's gonna be in that role, there's a lot worse third line centers out there, and
we've seen him the last 2 years on this team.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Jets really played well, really dominated most of the second period. 2-1 for the Jets at the end of 40 minutes. The place was rocking here at the MTS Center. Jets made it 3-1 early in the second at the 2:22 mark. Evander Kane gets his second of the game. I'd be surprised if it doesn't end up going to Devin Setoguchi at some point in time. I thought it deflected off of Setoguchi's stick. But... he turns, it deflects off a Setoguchi's stick, or it doesn't, depending on your eyesight. And again, past Jonathan Quick, not a terrific goal, but again, affected nonetheless.
Yeah, affected nonetheless. You see Daryl Sutter in the corner over there waiting for somebody. And
he's going to get run over by the Zamboni if he's not
right.
careful.
That's right. But you know what, Drew? A lot of bounces, right? And I thought it was off Setoguchi. Based on his reaction, too, I thought it was. But Kane and him both reacted like they scored. And in any event, it's a goal. You put the puck on net, good things happen, and the Jets just continued to outshoot the Kings from 18-7 to the Jets exceeding them in shots at one point in time. I'm not sure if it finished that way. But
The Kings ended up outshooting the Jets. At the end of the game, it was 36-33.
But the Jets, I believe, came back past them and took a lead in shots, and that was indicative of who's carrying the play.
Yeah, I think at some point in time it was about 18 to 4 for the Jets. Had a streak of about 18 shots to LA's 4 shots on goal.
Oh, David, of course, from illegalcurve.com just informed me that Setoguchi said he did touch it in the locker room. So
okay, so there you go.
Changed, right.
That'll be changed. We'll see that. That'll be Setoguchi will get his first of the night because he made it 4-1.
Yes.
At the 5:19 mark of the third period, Devin Setoguchi, which may end up being his second of the night, we'll see, from Evander Kane and Olli Jokinen. Evander Kane driving the net, really a solid, hard drive into the net. Doesn't go in. The puck is scrambled. It comes loose on the side of the net. Devin Setoguchi picks it up and wraps it around and past Jonathan Quick, ending Jonathan Quick's night at that point and giving the Jets a 4-1 lead.
Keys to that play. One was Kane going in the net, which always helps, and he's one of the players in this team that does that the best, and Bogosian coming in hard and pressuring Quick, another guy who goes to the net a ton for a defenseman, gets in there. Quick didn't know where it was. Bogosian pressured him. The puck popped out to Setoguchi, and he wraps it around, take into account the fact the Nets are not as the depth of the Nets this year.
Yeah.
Make it easier for wraparounds. We've already seen it in other games, and Setoguchi, good skater, on his right-hand side, meaning he can wrap it around on his strong side, wraps it around, beats Quick, who was off tonight. Quick was off. I know there were some bounces and such, but Quick gave up some rebounds and that terrible goal to Kane. And, last year in the regular season, he wasn't that good either. So,
When Jonathan Quick's shaky, you have to take advantage of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, and the Jets did. That made it 4-1. And this is, we entered the part of the game that we spoke about earlier where the Jets just don't know how to shut down teams and how to make it easy on themselves. because at the 11:01 mark, so less than 10 minutes to go in the game, it's Jeff Carter on the power play, assist to Jake Muzzin and Mike Richards. Not a hard shot, but an effective shot, low and sort of along the ice, and it goes through the screen and it goes through Andrei Pavlik's five hole, and it's 4-2 for the Jets.
You know, some might say Pavlik should have had it. The screen, tough screen there. Carter's got such a deceptive shot.
Sure,
and he can go high low. It's just a goal scorer on his off wing. Picking five hole.
Yeah, you know, when Jeff Carter scores on the power play, it's not something that it is an everyday occurrence in that case.
That's right.
4-2 for the Jets still, 9 minutes to go in the game. But, again, the Kings got one step closer at the 15:44 mark of the third period. Another power play goal, so the penalties did come back to haunt the Jets, the ones they took late in the third period there.
About a weak call on the Evander Kane play there.
Yes, very weak call. I agree that the ref called him for a high stick. Yep. The ref called him for a high stick in the offensive zone.
Bad call.
Didn't touch him with the stick.
Even if the elbow is nothing, if he had his hands up protecting himself, I mean, come on, you got to let that go.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. Anyways, Justin Williams was able to capitalize, assist to Matt Fratton and Willie Mitchell. Really, Matt Fratton did the work here. He just, terrific wrist shot.
He's got a great shot.
Beats Andrei Pavlik.
UND boy, yeah.
Rings it off the post, comes right back out to Williams, wide open net. You mentioned Jacob Trouba lost his positioning on that play.
Well, Trouba went to clear the puck, and he didn't get it out along the boards. The puck gets back to the blue line, works its way around. Fratton takes a shot. Trouba loses track of the puck. The puck bounced off the post, as you mentioned, Drew, and out kind of Pavlik's right side. Trouba didn't know where it was, so he was looking around. And Williams, on his off wing, without Trouba noticing where he was, not all the blame goes to Trouba, but partially, just walks right in, has an easy empty net. So,
yeah.
Quickly, we'll talk about this tomorrow on the show, but Trouba, I mean, looks tremendous. I mean, I don't want to overstate it, but the guy, and he had some struggles in the second half of the game, you know, rookie mistakes and pressure and stuff like that, but overall, he just looks so poised for such a young player, so talented, and the Jets have to be ecstatic about his progression. Since draft day. I mean, it's been it'll be a ride, and you know, obviously the young defensemen will make mistakes, but I mean, coaches say a lot of things. Most of what coaches say means nothing, and the most important thing a coach says is go on the ice, because whoever has the most ice time is really what the coach thinks of the player. And Jacob Trouba's ice time, again, I know he was leading the Jets players in total ice time after the second period, and I'm not sure how it finished, and obviously you're checking up on that right now. But
he had his ice time cut in the third period, but after 40 minutes, he was leading the Jets in ice time, ended up playing 20:53 for the entire game, which
was more than
Zach Bogosian, but less than Byfuglien and Enstrom. Yeah. Byfuglien and Enstrom overtook him in the third period in time of ice. But, you know, you're putting him out. I mean, he's playing in all the situations, and he's showing, I mean, you know, a little bit of nerves in the third period there.
Nothing to worry about.
I mean, just still a defenseman who looks like he's going to be a beyond a steady defenseman for the next 10 years.
And Bogosian playing the left side has helped, because we had those questions in the offseason. You know, who can play that left side? And Klitsam's out right now, and we'll talk about that later. The one thing to note is Dustin Brown at the end of the game, before we finish the podcast up here. Dustin Brown coming down the left side, Jets up 4-3. On the power play, on a penalty by Robin Regier at the end of the game. How Dustin Brown goes around Tobias Enstrom and basically through Dustin Byfuglien to get a partial breakaway that was almost knocked in on the rebound by, I believe, Anze Kopitar.
You're saying a shorthanded breakaway for Dustin Brown.
When you're up one, is reprehensible in terms of defensive play. And that's the problem that the team has, is lockdown, don't really know how to lock down. And you cannot allow essentially a partial breakaway when you're up with 2 minutes left in the game on the power play, with two defensemen back. It's not like he was behind them, which is another issue if he were. He wasn't. So, you know, but at the same time, I mean, Enstrom and Byfuglien aren't great defensively. So these are some of the shortcomings the team has. But we're nitpicking there. The Jets, after two games, flaws and all, are 2-0. I think they look really good. They're certainly a better team than last year. And as a fan, you have to be encouraged.
That's right. The Jets were able to make it 5-3 with the empty netter. No sense in recapping that. But like we said at the start, they're going to be a team that's fun to watch because they're going to score and they're also going to give up a bunch of goals. But like Richard said, 2-0 after two games for the Winnipeg Jets. You can't ask for much more as a Jets fan. They're next in action Sunday night, 7 p.m., the puck drop here at MTS Center. It's Timu Sulani's final game in MTS Center, barring something unusual later on in the year. In the playoffs, but that'll be a fun game. Tomorrow on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, 12 noon on TSN 1290. Going to break down the game in even more detail than we just did on this fine podcast. And we're going to be joined by Director of Player Personnel and the guy who traded Timu Sulani, John Paddock, Director of Player Personnel for the Philadelphia Flyers, I should say. So that's tomorrow, 12 noon on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. For Richard Pollock, for Dave Manuk of IllegalCurve.com, for Ezra Ginsberg of Twitter, and for producer Michael Ramos, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Thanks for listening.